I'm Lula.
And I'm Jude.
And welcome back to Just Friends.
Yay, this is such a I feel bad. I feel like I'm betraying our listeners.
Know. I'm like, we are
Yeah,
so excited to have our first guest of season two.
oh my God. Well,
Our guest is delayed, guys.
yeah.
It's just us.
It's just friends. Yeah, I don't know.
LOL.
LOL. Yeah. So that's on us, guys, to be honest. Well, is it on us? I don't know if it's on us. It's
No,
like,
it's a combination.
yeah, we feel really strongly about having like a really interesting and exciting first guest. So we're prioritizing like keeping the person we wanted to have on this episode. But that means that we aren't just filling it with another guest. We are gonna just talk. And unlike usually when we like do our high-low buffalo, we're gonna try again. Just conversation and unstructured, just connecting, because I don't know. I also like feel like a lot of the times that we've talked recently, it's either been about the pod or like a quick update about like, oh my God, this is like the stuff that's happening in my life. So just like having like a little bit longer of a conversation with you and just like whatever comes out will be exciting. I don't know.
I'm so excited.
I am too.
Literally right I got on the Zoom late and we were just like right before pressing record, I was talking about being so excited to visit Jude in 2 weeks. And we were talking about all the things we were gonna do. And then I was like, wait, I forgot that we're supposed to be recording.
Yeah.
Which is very weird because I usually don't like I never feel like I'm on camera, quote unquote, or like recording when we are. But then in the episodes where we're doing just like, let's talk, and you and I are in a natural conversation, and then we start recording, I'm like, my mind is like stuck.
As
Does
in
that make
like
any sense?
the switch of when we record, like
Like,
it
I
switches.
feel that we're recording more.
Yeah. Oh, I do too a little bit. Like I honestly, because we like have gotten in the tradition of like recording at the very beginning of the episode, like before like you even come, like before Lula joins the Zoom, I already have clicked record, so it's just like as authentic as possible. But for some reason, I didn't do it this time, and I think that's also interesting, right? Because
And
like,
now I'm like, oh,
yeah,
what do we talk about?
now we're like, oh my God, but we were just like, yeah, not
Oh
the
my
friendship
God.
glitching.
It's gonna be fine. Okay, well, how are you today? Or has anything been on your mind?
Okay. New highlight is opening my eyes after meditating. Yeah, like I mean, I have complex feelings about meditation in general, even though I think that it's like good. Like, also, are you meditating, by the way? Like, have you been doing that at all?
I
Or
was
have you
just gonna
been?
say, well, you go first and then I'll add.
Well, I'm curious.
Okay. I mean, on Sunday, I was like hungover, and my friends and I were like not leaving our beds, like let alone our bedrooms, like not leaving our beds. It was like 3 p.m. and we were like, fuck. And then they like knocked on my door because they give us like fresh towels, or whatever, like every week. Sorry, this is a long story. That's why I was like, I'll go after
No,
you.
wait, wait. As in, oh, like
Like a
where you're
cleaning lady,
staying.
like
Oh, okay.
hospitality. Yes. Like they come. I don't like the word cleaning lady.
Me
Sorry. That's
neither.
a
It
whole
feels
other. I don't even know. Like, anyway, knock on my door to give me like new towels and then lay like new bedding, I think. So they like kick me out of the room and I'm like, fuck, I'm like in my boxers, literally. Like, oh my God. So then I go up to Ari's room. Shout out Ari.
Shout
I'm
out
like name
Ari.
dropping people on the podcast now. And I'm like, please let me crawl here. I like I'm kicked out of my room. And she's like, we need to turn this day around. Let's go do yoga. So me,
No way, you got into yoga with
So
Ari.
me, Ari, and Darius, we all
Shout out
bike.
Darius.
Shout out Darius. We all bike to yoga. And then we do an
Wait.
hour long, like amazingly zen and also really sweaty intense by the end, like vinyasa yoga situation. And then
Was it
we bike
outside?
home. No, it was inside, which is good
I've
because the weather here starts pouring every 5 minutes. But anyway, all to say, I had in that room, that was the one of the first times I've had a very like formal setting for yoga, I guess. Like it was very like I usually do yoga in my room, whatever. I'm just not I've talked about this in a million episodes. I'm not doing
yeah,
it again.
Like actually so
But
many
anyway,
episodes.
I went to like an actual place where there's like, here's where everyone changes. Like, here's your mat and your blocks and your da 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 da. And like, there were candles everywhere
A
and like
yoga
setting
studio.
the mood. A yoga studio, one might call it. And I was really, it was kind of the first time I've had to like open my eyes after meditation thing moment. That's why I thought of this.
Doesn't it feel good?
It felt good. And then it felt very weird to be like, okay, now I'm going back into the street and have to bike home and I'm really tired.
Okay, that's fair. I really don't like doing physical activity when I'm like done. Like, I really like walking very slowly wherever I'm going next after my meditation.
Well, that's what I mean. I was like, this is a little like extra exertion
Yeah.
on the back end of it is quite
Not my vibe.
strange. I don't know.
Okay, first of all, I need to respond to yoga. I'm so jealous. I'm jealous in so many levels. First of all, I'm dying to do yoga again. I miss that practice so much.
Wait, you should find like a little like random studio.
I know I should. I'm like a little. Oh, okay. Can we come back to that? Because I honestly have like thoughts
Yes.
about that. Okay,
Okay.
let's start that. Two, I can't believe you did yoga with Ari. I am so jealous. You need to do yoga with me, bitch. What? I
Well,
want
I
to do
don't
yoga
want to
with
do
you.
hot
Okay,
yoga.
I'll do regular yoga.
Okay, we can
I'll
do
lower my
regular
expectations.
yoga.
Okay. Okay. Three, I just want to go back to opening my eyes, meditating. Like,
Sorry, yes.
no, it's I love that. Like, it's just like seeing the world again. Like, I don't know. I just feel like so often, like, even like when I'm sleeping, I open my eyes and I'm like, oh, whoa, like I'm awake now. And I'm like trying to like get reoriented to waking up, and like my consciousness is now like on. But like when I'm like still conscious and I still have all, I know what's happening around me because like I'm listening and I'm feeling and I'm smelling. And then I get to open my eyes 15 or 20 minutes later. It's like, whoa. Like this world is like actually still here, and like you just notice different details, and it's just like, oh, like I'm back. Like I've rejoined this world in a really in a way that like you I don't get even when I like wake up from the for the day. Like it's a special experience.
When I wake up for the day, I feel like I was electrocuted.
Have you
I
been?
literally I need like to pry my like hold my eyes open so that I don't fall back asleep. It's like painful.
Okay, so this may seem crazy. I don't know if this is gonna be crazy or not, but I've been doing this thing where like, so I looked up like what a REM cycle is, you know, like the optimal REM cycle. It's like an hour and a half, probably. Okay,
That's
so let's say I
fine.
want to wake up at 7:30, right? Wait, no, wait, how did I do this morning? Okay, wait, I
This
gotta
is
think this
already
through.
crazy. I
Okay.
have to affirm you and you being like,
Okay.
this is crazy. I'm already like, this is crazy.
Okay, forget the math. The idea, you can go do your own research, or I'll put it in the description, whatever, is you basically multiply the optimal hours of sleep. Like, the goal is to wake up after your REM cycle. So you're like maximally awake. That's
Okay,
the
I
idea, right?
understand.
So
There we go.
instead of waking up in the middle of a REM cycle, you basically time your going to bed and your alarm clock for like waking up and feeling refreshed. And it honestly has worked like wonders.
Are you able to fall asleep like when you
No.
want to?
No. But like
Okay.
my thought is like I don't think the REM cycle is not like it's a curve, right? Like so it's like if you get like the closer you are to being out of REM, the better you feel.
Yeah,
So like
that's interesting.
So I may not like hit it exactly, but like I kind of know that it takes 20 or 30 minutes for me to go to bed, maybe.
Because isn't the peak of your REM cycle when you're like really dreaming or something or like deepest
Yes.
sleep?
Yeah, deepest sleep. Yeah.
So you're saying you don't want to wake up. Like you want to wake up
You
when
do
you're
not want to
not
wake up.
in REM.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I asked that because I like just can't fall asleep, period. I mean, sometimes it takes me like 10 minutes and sometimes I'm laying there for like 40 minutes and then have to start reading again because I'm like, okay.
I don't understand reading before you go. Like that makes no sense to me.
What?
Yeah, no, I've never understood that. I mean, I
Wait,
never.
what? You
Yeah.
reading before bed?
Yeah. No, that's
I feel
weird.
like that's like the most common time
Well,
a
okay.
human reads.
I know people do it. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not like, wait, what? It's just like, no, that's weird. It's 'cause it's like,
Oh,
why am I
interesting.
like using my brain I've been using my brain all day. Like, why am I trying to like use my brain before I go to bed? Like, I just want to shut off.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends what you're reading. Because I felt that too. Like,
I
I've
guess
been
that's
like,
true.
sometimes I'm reading like whatever, All About Love or like A Little Life. Like, those are hard to read before bed because I'm like either really thinking deeply and analyzing myself or I'm like super sad.
You're
But if
just
you get like,
crying yourself to
yes,
sleep.
but if you get a little like fictional book or like little essays, like those, I think essays, short essays are so good to read before
Oh,
bed.
actually, wait, do you read the short essay? I guess this is the thing I've never
And
understood.
sorry, I don't mean like academic essays.
No, like
Just to
cute,
be
like
clear.
vignettes.
Yes. Okay, yes.
Okay, but this is what I've never really understood. Do you read
Okay.
the short essay and then go to bed? Right? You finish. Oh, wow. What a great essay. Okay, now my time to go to bed. Or is it like,
Yeah.
oh, and then he went to the, and then fall asleep. You know, like, are you falling asleep in the middle of the essay because you're so, like, it puts you to sleep?
I
I
try
guess
not
that's.
to. No.
So you, like, it's just like your ritual. It's like brushing your teeth. It's like another thing you do.
Yeah, I like finish.
Oh,
I
okay.
mean, no, but it's not a ritual because it's not like routine, I guess. Like, for example, last night, I knew I just could like crash because I had to do homework really late. So it was like 2 a.m. and I was like, oh my God, the second I brush my teeth and lie down, I'm gonna like,
Going to bed.
yeah.
Okay.
But
Yeah, but that's, I guess I have an image of like in the movies, you know how they're reading a book and they fall asleep reading a book?
okay, like the books. Like
That just
open on
doesn't,
their chest when
yeah,
they
that's
wake
kind
up
of
or
what I've
something.
always thought people do when they go to,
Okay.
and I
Well,
don't
I
get,
also think, wait, why is that not?
I just know I that I just don't understand how that happens. Like, if I'm reading,
Oh.
I'm reading.
Well, that's I think what the difference is. I don't know. I'm thinking about like my parents always read before bed. Like that's just always been like the blueprint or whatever. And I think it's very like what's it's interesting what you said about like you don't want to use your brain. Because I think when my mom has talked to me about like, oh, try reading before bed, it like shuts your brain off
Reading's not
depending on what you read.
easy for everyone, Lula, okay? That's a
True,
big
true,
generalization.
true. She always says that in comparison to like a screen, because she's like, that's whatever, not good for you to
That's
be
the.
looking at right before you
But see,
sleep.
like, I like. Well, see, I'm going back to my audiobooks era when I go to bed, but like, I,
Okay.
but like, right, but when I do watch TV, brightness on my screen is completely down and I just want the audio.
I mean, I've like listened to podcasts before
Yeah,
bed.
I like going to bed on podcasts
Yeah.
too. Okay, wait. I want to go back to the yoga studio because I have
Oh my God,
this has
sorry.
been on my head, like just my mind for the last like week, honestly.
Okay.
Okay, I need some help here. Okay, because and
So,
I honestly know you're gonna have thoughts about this.
I'll wait. I mean,
Okay,
why else would we have a
okay,
podcast?
okay. So I went to a bouldering gym yesterday. Okay, because I'm getting into bouldering and I really enjoy it. And like honestly, there's like a lot of free time here where like. I don't know. I want like 2 hours of a good active workout. It's a good way to meet new people. Like, there's so many pros to joining a bouldering gym. So I go to the bouldering gym. I look around and I'm like, oh, this is so cool. Such a big gym. I look at the memberships, $50 a month, which is like honestly relatively reasonable for like a bouldering gym, unlimited. Like, I can go anytime I want.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, oh, okay. Like, I'll sign up in October, you know, because I want to like optimize the amount of time I get for months.
Sure. It's
But like,
almost October.
yeah, and am I signing up in October?
Wait, sorry, isn't that crazy? It's almost October.
I know I'm not. I purposely
Okay.
moved past it because I don't want to think
Sorry.
about how fast time is moving here. Like,
Sorry.
what? How did, like,
Yeah,
it's
I don't know
actually
what the
insane.
fuck is happening.
It's like we're happy.
I have like essays and projects and quizzes this week because it's like halfway through like one block. Anyway, sorry, sorry,
You've been
sorry,
in
sorry.
school for so much less time than me, and you have so much more work than I do. It's kind of crazy. My biggest project is a presentation that's 10 minutes long with two sources.
Well, to be honest,
Okay.
that's what my presentation is tomorrow. I think
Oh.
my essay due Sunday is maybe 1,000 words.
Okay, so we're just making it sound fancy. Okay.
I mean, it's working under the Yale assumptions. Whatever. Okay,
All right,
sorry,
back
I'm
to the
getting
thing.
super off
Well,
track.
no, I just don't like. I don't know. It's like, I know that would be good for me. I know it's not that expensive. I know that, like, I would be happy doing it. But, like, for some reason, I feel like I'm going to procrastinate that purchase for a long time. Same with yoga. I know it would bring me so much joy to have a yoga studio here, and it would be so good for me. But I have a feeling I'm not joining a yoga studio this semester. And I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, why am I not paying for, like, the good things in life?
Okay, I have a thought. like you said.
I thought you would.
Okay, mine is interesting. My brain didn't go to the like, why am I not paying? It went to the whole procrastination part of it. Because I think I've been thinking about procrastination so much, like daily, but also in a bigger scale. Daily, I'm kind of like, why am I not doing my like 30 minutes of homework until it's after I wanted to go to bed? Or on a bigger scale, this tattoo that I ended up getting, woo, I'm like, I was like between a few options. And then day of, I like procrastinated deciding. And then I was like, oh, that's the one. And I was like, obviously, that's a permanent decision. Kind of crazy thing to procrastinate. But I'm also like, this is maybe my whole little, oh, it's meant to be, will be brain. But I'm like, if you were meant to do it, it'll happen. And I think sometimes that comes out in the procrastination brain, if this makes any
I don't
sense.
agree with that though.
Okay, wait, let me think of another example because I had another one when
Well,
you
like,
were
okay, wait.
talking.
I just want to,
Okay.
okay. I get procrastinating and how that could be like, oh, that's meant to be. You know, like, I don't have an issue with that statement. But I think when money is involved, I think it does have a different meaning.
Okay, I get what you're saying about the money being involved because when you spend a lot of money at the very last second without thinking it through, it kind of feels like you wouldn't have spent it otherwise if you did actually spend time thinking it through, right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
That's
Yes.
where my brain goes. So I guess that's a good point, a good qualifier. Because me, I'm like the procrastinating. Also, I know I'm just trying to romanticize my own like procrastinating. I'm trying to be like, this is all okay. But with money, true, it gets a little confusing because you're like, maybe rationally you wouldn't spend that much.
But like, I would like, I guess like that's the thing that like is like bothering me is like when you're like, oh, I can't decide if I should go like to Oktoberfest or oh, I can't decide if I want to go on this trip and it's so expensive and like, is that a good decision? Like, yeah, like have that internal debate. That makes sense. But
Sure.
like $50, like, I mean, just like that's like less than $2 a day to go climbing whenever I want. And
Yeah,
like,
it's
like, it's
pretty
just like,
cheap.
it's pretty cheap and it would bring me a lot of joy. And I guess I'm going to get one. But like, even when I say that, I'm like, well, when am I going to go back and do this? Like, I'm trying to hold myself accountable and be like, am I actually going to do this? And I don't know if I will.
Okay, well, here's something, and this is not something I've thought deeply about. But the yoga, it was like you could do a drop-in. We got it like the hour before we had to leave, right? So obviously we got a drop-in class, like
Yes.
price, which was like 13 euro or something for an hour.
Wait, that's really good.
That's super good, right?
What yoga place was $13?
It was so good. It was called like Studio Balance, I think.
Was it a
I know, it
student
was
discount? That's
insane.
crazy.
No, it was just really good. It was like very chill and small.
Okay,
But
that's
this guy
crazy.
was amazing. Anyway, it was like 13 euro, I think, for a drop in. And then it was like, or you can get a 3-session pass for like 30. And I was like, that sounds great. Like, that's 10 euro a session. That's so cheap. 10 euro for an hour. But then I looked at it and it was like, you had to do those 3 sessions within 14 days. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to go back twice in 2 weeks. And I'm just thinking about the whole like accountability thing. Like, I was even today, I was like, would I go? And I was like, no, glad I didn't get that pass. So maybe part of it is about planning, because that's something I've been experiencing abroad. I'm like, I can't plan anything too far in the future. It just
That's
seems
fair.
very intangible.
Like, it's kind of scary to be accountable to go. Like, I feel like I would pressure myself to go more times than I may even want to just to like reap the benefits of the subscription or whatever.
Sure.
Sure.
Even
I
though
don't
it is
know.
cheap.
Yeah, I'm gonna get it, I think. I feel like that's the takeaway is like I need to get either I think
Conclusion.
I should either get yoga or bouldering. I don't need to do both. So I can decide.
Okay, I think that's good. I think you'll be very happy that you did.
Yeah, I think bouldering is a good one, even though I really miss yoga. Okay, thank you. See? Aw.
Perfect. Problem solved.
Problem solved. It's gonna be like 2 months from now and be like, hey guys, I need to bring something to I still
Yeah.
haven't bought the subscription.
You're gonna be like, I really miss bouldering. I wish there was an outlet for that in Copenhagen. Okay, I don't know what to talk about. Where should we pivot
meditation and
to?
money.
They don't really go together.
They don't. So
It doesn't really work.
it's something's not adding up.
Okay, we're gonna pivot. Dude's had a lot on his mind. Do you want to
Yeah.
talk about this?
I want to talk about it. It doesn't necessarily need to go in the pod. We'll see. You know?
Speak your truth, and then I'll
Speak my
probably
truth.
yell
And
my
then
truth.
make me feel bad about having my truth, but then actually validate it at the same point, and then we come to an agreement. The
Wait, is
pod.
that bad of me?
No, we come to an
Okay,
agreement
good.
about it, you know?
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
All right, I want to pivot. I do want to pivot. Okay. Ooh, I'm a little scared. But like, all right, this has just been on my mind a lot. And there's like a lot of thoughts here. Okay. I'm gonna start with a conversation that I had with one of my friends from high school, who just he made a really good point about how there most of the media that is consumed has storylines about heterosexual love. That's a total generalization, but a lot of like the media, like movies and rom-coms, like TV shows, everything is shows like this like idyllic image of like heterosexual love. And so I think I watched a lot of this media growing up, and there are expectations that are instilled in me of like what a healthy or good or romantic relationship actually looks like. And I think the conversation was talking about how he doesn't feel the same because he's gay and there's not as much kind of representative gay romance, if that makes sense. Like there's less of like a right way to have a gay relationship as there is like there's a right way to have a straight relationship. And so
Totally.
like I guess like what I've been kind of hitting up against is like a lot of my own expectations that I put on myself of what it looks like to be a good man or like a sexy man or like even like a romantic man. And like there are rules that I feel like I have to follow. And like, I mean, let's instead of being abstract, let's keep it as simple as possible. Paying for a meal.
Sure.
The guy's supposed to pay for the meal. At least the first date, right? Like, isn't it
Chivalry.
chivalry? And like, isn't it kind of weird if he doesn't? As much as we want to say we live in an equal rights like society, and as much as we want to say like, yeah, no, he shouldn't have to pay. It's kind you're gonna talk about it with your girlfriends if he doesn't pay, right?
Well, I think it's seen, I mean, like you said, it's whatever. Almost all of our popular media, or the huge majority, is cisgender heterosexual love. And I think, in the same way that we can talk about guys being conditioned, women are conditioned to be like, if he doesn't pay, it's not a date.
Totally.
Even if she doesn't believe that.
Totally. Yes.
Right? Which makes it like a lose-lose. I mean, you and I have been texting about this,
Yeah.
and it's just been like, we go on these crazy, crazy long rants about like both of our experiences and like shortcomings of like heterosexual expectations in the media and like da 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 da, and these kind of like internal like blocks. Like, I think I phrased something as like you end up like getting in your own way. I don't mean you, but I mean like everyone. And it's so hard because I also think it's much easier to like criticize the other person that you're involved with than be like, fuck, like this is because of my own conditioning or whatever it is. You
That's
know what I
interesting.
mean?
No.
Okay.
And I think that's like where it gets interesting. I think that like I feel like it's a lot more criticized on. I mean, maybe this is just a function of me, or it's a function of being like a guy, a cisgender guy in heterosexual relationships, but it's like I feel like it's a lot more me beating myself up because I did something wrong.
Okay.
Than like interpreting another's actions as like they're weird.
I think I actually am going to take back what I said.
Okay.
Because
I
now
feel
that
like.
I'm thinking back, I'm like, I've definitely always been faster to beat myself up than the other
Yeah.
person.
Yeah. Okay. So
Yeah.
wait, now I'm just totally going to bring this to like a very different conversation, but I want to come
Okay.
back. I was listening to this really good audiobook about this difference between psychoanalysis and Buddhism. And
Okay.
they were talking about this really interesting phenomenon that happens when you're a child, which it makes a lot of sense. But like, if you ask people, would you rather be hit by yourself or by your parents? The child always says themselves. And like, you may think, oh, it's because like they have self-control of how hard they hit them or whatever it is. But what the theory is it's actually that you can't live in a world where the protector, the person that like holds the reality and truth of the world, is the one harming you. So it's so much easier to blame yourself and hate on yourself and be self-degrading than look on the exterior world and hate on the exterior world. Because like, right? And I think there is some tie-in to like these like romantic partners that we idealize, right? Idealize, right? And like hold up and you're like, oh my God, like this is so exciting. But then we end up beating up ourselves because we did it wrong. We're the ones who messed up. We're the ones who didn't pay for the first date. We're the ones who like wore the wrong thing on the first date, whatever it is.
I have something that I is related, but I think is emphasizing a kind of different point.
Okay.
But I've like talked about this a million times, but I'm like in this love politics class that I'm obsessed with,
Yes.
and have I'm doing like 200 pages of reading a week on like just theory about love through a ton of different lenses. And the first week was on like consent and desire and like consent culture and like blah 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 blah. And this week was on Black feminist theory. So it was like bell hooks and Nash, whatever. I rec like literally, if anyone is interested in this, hashtag DM us. I want to send this syllabus to like every person I've ever met, but whatever. There was a lot about, I think this was specifically in All About Love. This was in like chapter one. Or, yeah, I think it was literally in chapter one about how we need a definition of love because we're all loving in the wrong way because there's no shared understanding of it. And everything we know of it is from harmful pop culture references. And that's like, we love is what love does, what sees, et cetera. So it's very cyclical. So it's not like blaming any of these people for having these experiences and then like exploring it in this way that's like, fuck men or fuck women or whatever, like working through their own shit becomes what people take as doctrine or like guiding influence because there's no one else is talking about love in terms of a serious, defined way, whatever. I have a lot of like, do we need an actual definition? Like that has its own implications, whatever. But you can't see the person who is like, what was the word you used?
The
Not power,
protector
but
or the
like, yeah, the
person that's rooting
protector.
you in reality.
Sure. So bell hooks said something about like with this new definition of love that she has that's all about like willful choice and like love is a choice and it's actionable, etc. And then the feeling comes after action. I'm also not sure I agree with that. But anyway, there was a lot about how like love and emotional dysfunction are mutually exclusive. And it was specifically talking about parents and relationships with parents and her parents, and that like people never want to say that their parents didn't love them just because they like hit them as a form of discipline or whatever it might be. Or I don't even know, don't need to list a million examples. But she argues that like any sort of emotional dysfunction is a term that she uses over and over again. It doesn't mean that there can't be sustained care, but it's not love. Like she was like, dysfunction and care can exist at the same time. And she, but it's not the same as loving someone. And I think it relates to what you said about like, you can't see the protector. And kind of, you can't critique the protector, obviously, when you're a kid, but also, like, you don't want to ever.
But you don't think that that kid who is hit, now this is turning into a psychoanalysis
Of
conversation, but
course, it
like,
always does.
you don't think that the kid that was hit is gonna understand that that is love and like that was love and come up with that narrative and then do that to his
That's
child
the
or her child.
point.
Yeah.
Yes,
But like, so
that's the
like,
author's point.
yeah, we learn love by the earliest ways that we like experience it, which is our usually our
Yes.
parents. right? And
Yes.
it plays out in all of our other relationships.
Exactly.
Yes, I think that having one definition of love then is also doesn't really make sense, because I think there are so many different types of love out there, right? And there's so
That's
many different
exactly what
forms of
I
love out there,
said.
right? Yeah, like
Yes.
I can't get behind one form of love. But then if that's true, and if we agree on that, then why am I a fool when I watch Notting Hill and Friends with Benefits and Vampire Diaries and all of these incredible pieces of media that like portray true love
Sure, yeah.
as like the most like idyllic, romanticized, oh my God, I want to be Damon Salvatore, or oh my God, I want to be Hugh Grant in Notting Hill. Like it's like
Yeah.
I still yearn for that in some way, and I still fall for it. Like what this conversation is like is starting about is like my frustration that like that there's one way to do relationships, even though we all know that's bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I agree with basically everything you just said. I mean, I don't want to be Hugh Grant, but like,
But
sure.
you want to be Anne Hathaway.
Okay, whatever.
I'm
So,
just this girl standing in front of this guy asking
okay.
her.
Anyway,
I love that movie.
I think the point though that still carries on from Hugs, like whatever, we can critique it for a million years, is that the longing for love is only in popular culture.
Nope, I don't agree with
Okay,
that. I
go.
don't agree. I just no, I just think
Oh,
that's
wait,
part of the.
sorry. Sorry, I actually worded that wrong.
Okay.
Not only in popular culture. The only way it's not discussed commonly, so that the domain where we see it most is in popular culture.
Okay.
Sorry.
Good clarification.
That's
Yeah, I was gonna
crucial.
say the need for love is human. Like you
Yes.
just need it. It's not about pop culture,
Yeah.
but it's such a confusing and complex topic, but so rooted in human nature that the only way to do it is like portray it in this pop culture in this kind of really incorrect way. I mean, that's kind of the reason I like Normal People, is that I felt like at least it was trying to show a different form of love, even though it was a complex relationship and really unhealthy at times. Like it felt much more detailed and fraught than like this, like, oh, and they lived happily ever after.
Sure. Well, because it didn't end well.
No, and it didn't go well,
Yeah.
but like the highs were so high
Yeah.
and the lows were so low.
Yeah. I mean, that's much more realistic. And I actually think it's important. That's a good point. To like recognize that that show is so popular.
Totally, because people are dying for a more realistic understanding of their own experiences.
Yeah, there's a new demand.
I don't know if it's new. It's just really hard to capture.
Okay, I like that too.
And like, I do, yeah, I mean, I read this really interesting article for my Masculinities in Scandinavia article class called She Was Born a Bride. And it's all about how like these girls are raised like idealizing their wedding. Like, do you ever think about your wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have like an image of what it's gonna look like?
Like, not really, but I think that, yeah, I think that's a very, like, conditioned, but also, like, hopeless romantic phenomenon. So you're saying that, like, guys don't think about weddings?
Not really, no. And
Have
I
you
mean,
seen
she
the, sorry,
is it the
continue.
Roman Empire TikTok thing?
Yes.
I can't deal with it, guys. Like, I'm actually tired of it. So many people have asked me about it, and I don't, no, I don't listen. I don't think about the Roman Empire. I know some guys do. I'm proud that I don't. I don't get it. Like whatever they're dealing with, like, I hope them well on their journey. Okay. Just if for context, there's like this TikTok going viral, I guess, that's like, oh, like men think about the Roman Empire like so many more times a month than like you think they do. You should
No, just
ask
like
them or
every
whatever.
day.
Yeah. Or like 3 times an hour or something. It's like, no, like, I don't, the Roman, like, no, I'm sorry, guys. But like, I'm sure there are men that do that. And there's probably some interesting like cultural
Okay,
phenomena.
speak your truth.
But all I was just going to say is just like, I think it's not even that profound, but like the article makes the claim that like they like dissect the toy industry and how like Mattel and other like big toy corporations have like instilled this desire in young girls to like have a wedding and have the perfect white day. And it's actually just in order to propel and create future customers for the wedding industry.
Oh, yes. Right? We're completely. That was in my reading, too. That it was about like longing fuels capitalism.
Yes. And like
obviously
buying flowers. Same idea. Valentine's Day. And like, if you're not taking her out to a beautiful dinner at like the nicest restaurant and like getting her a chocolate lava cake, like you're doing it wrong. You're not a good boyfriend. Like, like, what if that's not my ideal date with a girl, you know? And so I guess like, I mean, it is because I really like chocolate lava cakes. But like, okay. But like, nevertheless, like, I don't know. It's been aggravating me, and especially because it doesn't have an easy answer. And I think I texted you this, but like, I'll just rant on this for 1 second, is like, as someone who is so good at following rules and structure, like, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, I assume you can tell, like, I'm neurotic about it, that like, when someone gives me structure, when society is like, oh, these are the hoops to jump through, right? Go back to William Derezowitz. It always comes back to William Derezowitz. I like Shout feel out. So safe, and I start jumping through the hoops, and I'll pay for dinner, and I'll buy the roses, and I'll do the things that I'm supposed to do from society. And it's really unfulfilling, because the whole idea of love is to be yourself and to listen to yourself and like to find someone who like makes you want to listen to yourself. Yeah. But it's hard to listen to yourself when like the first thing in my head is, oh, what am I supposed to be doing?
There in the like desire reading that I had, it was more about like sexual desire and like safe sex versus pleasurable sex, etc. But a lot of it was about, it came down to this argument that desire comes out of context. So it's like, we think of desire as this like lust that we're like either born with or like, we know we have it in us, but it just like, we're waiting. It's like, then it comes out in the wrong ways, blah, 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 blah. And this is obviously much more like sexually focused lens. But a lot of it came down to like, it's impossible to know how to articulate what we want, because we don't know what we want until we're faced with it.
Yeah.
And yes. It was suggesting that a way to think about desire in a more helpful way is to think about what we want to want.
Yeah.
Which I think, I mean, obviously this is so meta and like academia woo-woo, but I think it's also, it is helpful. Also, something I was just thinking of when you were talking about the jumping through hoops is that, at least personally, not to prescribe this to you, but I feel like a lot of that for me has been like, it makes you feel like less alone to be like, everyone is going through these same like steps or like these same kind of like failures of first dates or like whatever it might be. That then everyone is talking about these kind of similar things because we all are set up with the same bad expectations or like unrealistic or whatever they are. Like for me, I think there's a part of it that's less about like following the structure and more like, well, this is what love looks like and everyone's experiencing this. So like, let me go along that path.
I kind of got lost, but okay. What I was going to say in response, but I'm not sure if this is an agreement or disagreement. So you can, you can clarify your perspective, but like, I was going to say just like Instagram has like done like really bad things, I think, to like the idea of relationships. Cause not only are we seeing the idyllic relationship in movies and TV, now we're seeing it with the people that we care about in our lives, because they're not posting the breakup crying or like the, oh my God, like I had such a bad date. It's the, oh my God, he bought me roses and we went on this trip together and we look really good. And like, and so like, I think the curation of love in every form that we come across now in life, other than real life. And even real life, you're seeing like people are in public. It's different than what it looks like behind closed doors, right? Like,
yeah,
that's just like happens. Like, it's just very, very incorrect. We have a very incorrect understanding of what love should look like or does look like?
It's also,
Is that what you were saying, or were you disagreeing? Were
yeah,
you
no,
saying
this,
that,
I
like,
agree with you.
okay.
I agree with you. I think, yeah, this something like this came up in my class with the Instagram aspect of it all, because it was also about how, like, just everyone's own, like, biases, kind of, but that, like, when you see, for example, a very, like, attractive, young, like aesthetic, whatever, Instagrammable couple break up, everyone's like, oh my God, there's no hope for love. Or if you see, for example, just basically any non-cisgender heterosexual couple break up, or sorry,
Non-cisgender.
non-cisgender heterosexual white couple fail, break up, whatever. People are less likely, not really to care, but to like feel any sort of way about it. Like,
Yeah.
it's like, okay, if you see two black people break up, you're kind of like, okay, there's a lot of stereotypes about like black love, like not working, like black people being too aggressive or like not knowing how to communicate, like whatever the fuck it is. So it's like, if you see a queer couple break up, you're kind of like, oh, they were just meant to be friends anyway. Like, people push all these assumptions on minority couples of any form, and also uphold, like you're saying, all these like literally Instagram famous couples. And then it's like, we're all doomed because obviously we have no idea what any of them are like or what their relationship is like. But it's like, I'm sorry, even like thinking about if someone's like their favorite celebrity and their like partner broke up. People go through mourning. And it's like, which?
Everyone goes
Yeah.
through
And
mourning.
I'm like, huh? Anyway.
So I keep coming back to how similar this episode has become to the episode we did earlier this summer about how it feels like everyone around us needs to get an internship and how everyone is critiquing other people's meanings of life and how everyone is critiquing everyone's experience of love. Right? And when realistically, we all know that we'd be so much happier if we could just do love the way we want to do love, right?
Yes.
And do the love that, like, is not the love that's portrayed in the TV shows and movies, because it's life is not like movies or TV, unfortunately. And fortunately, right? Like, there's such
Yeah.
beauty to, like, the ups and downs, but it's also, like, less clean than movies. And we all want to say that our favorite movie, like movie stars and our heroes, like they experience love differently, but they don't. They feel love just the same complex, confusing feelings as us. And yet when I say all of that, it's like, oh wow, like that's so cool. And yet then I'm also left being like, oh, and that's where I see why we have all of these images. Cause then I start feeling free fall. Like that's the next feeling after I say it all. I'm like, oh, whoa, well, then what's love? Like, what's love to me? You know? And I guess that's like the bigger question that I want to, I guess, end, like, not wrap up this conversation, but like leave this conversation with and hear if you have any thoughts is like, how do you find what love means to you? How do you figure out, as you said, what you want to want?
Yeah, I don't know. But I will say, back to the reading, because I feel like I was literally indoctrinated. There was this reading on second wave Black feminism, love politics, long wordy title. And it was how all of these theorists, what they have in common, no matter how they think love should be performed or like the political potential of love, whatever. Is that fundamentally they all share the conception that a prerequisite for any of it is a labor of the self and self-love. And like, there's this, a lot of it turns into like, once you really put so much work into yourself and loving yourself, you can quote, transcend the self. And that's when you like, know what you want feels so innate that you can start applying it to other people.
I I've been thinking a lot about like how if you hide parts of yourself from others, then whatever love you're experiencing, it's not true full love for yourself, right? Like, right, they're loving whatever image you're portraying out into the world. And how quickly that gets messy, because then you can't, the person that's like, then you can't feel that love, because that love is not you. It's this image that you've created of yourself. And so you have to, I guess this is to say, you have to love yourself and be able to be vulnerable enough to share that self, that full, messy, complex, confused self with another or with many people, to be able to actually feel that love fully.
Yeah. Because it's also like if your conception of love is some like based on what you've experienced or whatever it is not something that's completely fulfilling, it's much less scary to whatever, date someone, be in love with someone, think that you're in love with someone, whatever it is, who doesn't offer you full authentic love.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of like, this aligns with what I know.
Because it's safe.
Yeah. And I think that's the trick. That's the tricky part. Because I think, is my opinion, it's much scarier to do a full quote labor of the self than to include someone else in it.
It, yes.
Right?
Yes. And most people just like take the safe and secure way because it's safe and secure and
Yeah.
simple. But so this is all to say, why didn't she text me back? Okay. Well, this episode, as always, got deeper than I expected.
Oh my God.
We started with
Okay.
like yoga. Like, how, what?
Now it's
Well,
fucking raining outside.
yeah.
Sorry.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. Yeah, we hope this was enjoyable. Sorry we didn't have a guest, but we have a very exciting guest coming very shortly, and
Yay.
we'll see you next Sunday.
And actually love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.